Welcome back to Oduro's Corner, part of the Bonnies Soccer Insider on the Bonnies Online Network. I am Isaac Housen, joined by Jeffrey Canova and Kieran Keneally. We are also joined by Bonnies Men's Soccer Head Coach, Kwame Oduro. Kwame, thank you for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad that we're back to doing this again. I missed it, so I'm glad we're back again together.
Definitely. I know I had to miss the one last week with Donnie George, and I was very sad, so I was very glad I'm able to hop back on and get ready.
We're happy to have you back on.
Got the full crew now, all four of us.
I appreciate it. But just jumping right into it, preseason, it's been a while. We have a lot to recap, but obviously we've missed preseason as well. But how did preseason go for you guys this year?
I thought it was good. Our boys came in really, really fit. You know, we do the beep test, and I think 80% of the guys all passed. There were maybe four or five guys that were injured. And, you know, if you don't pass, you do another fitness test in the next couple of days. And to be fair, we were really, really fit. And so I think probably the fittest team I've had in the 10 years that I've been here. So
that's perfect.
It's exciting.
Awesome. Yeah. So when you have a team that fit, does that give you just extra, like, confidence going into the season?
It does. You know, college soccer is so condensed, right? And you can't get people fit just in the 2 weeks of preseason. You need them to be constantly doing things in the spring, in the summer, so that you're ready to play in the fall. And for us as coaches, it makes it easier because now we can focus on soccer. Mm-hmm. If the beep test came and you know half of them pass and half of them fail, then we have to go the other route, which is making sure that we're fit enough to play in our game. So. To focus on soccer makes it more fun for us and more fun for them.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask for, to give a little bit of context on, can you kind of explain what the beep test is?
Oh, okay.
Just a quick synopsis. I don't want you giving a full story, but just a quick synopsis for,
It's, I don't even know who created it, but essentially the beep test comes from, you start on a line and you have to run 21 yards. And get back before the beep ends. All right. So the first beep goes, you run, you touch the cone, you come back before the next beep goes. And as you go on, it gets faster. So it's a slow jog, and then it ramps up the beep gets a little faster. And so we start, I think at 10, they call it, and our boys are trying to hit at least 18.5. Right. Which requires you to, push it a little bit in the end there. And so if you don't pass that 18.5, you fail. But it's more of a world test, Can I keep going if you know my legs are a little tired,
To tell you from personal experience that beep tests are not fun. I used to do them for soccer back in high school. They are not fun for players.
It sounds like a more advanced version of the pacer test I had to do in high school, but at least there you could just kind of give up and the gym teacher wouldn't get too mad at you. I could only imagine there's a little bit more pressure having to come in off of a summer, having to kind of be prepared for it as well.
Yep, absolutely. And you get one strike, If after that strike, if you make the next strike, you fail.
Thank you. That question was more, I think more for me because I've heard of it, but I never really try to understand it. So
hey, I'm always around. You can come do one if you want.
I'd like to see that. We should do that.
All three of us join a practice to see how we do.
I don't know if I'm reaching to 12 at that point, honestly.
Yeah, one sprint and I'd be done.
There's a reason I talk about soccer and I don't play it. But going back to preseason, just some of the takeaways of things that you noticed was really strong with this group and maybe some things that you're going to have to put a little more attention to going into this year.
Yeah. First of all, we could talk about the non-soccer stuff, which is the culture. I think they're really getting along. They seem to really love each other, and we do a lot with just off the field stuff. And there's a lot of things on social media. One day we did you build a bridge with noodles, uncooked noodles, and you see which group can have a bridge that can hold a lot of phones on them, and if you win, it's a big deal, we have an Olympics day, Jeopardy, we have minute to win it competition, and just different things to break up preseason. I think from the onset of preseason, we knew that we have to defend better, because it was a newer group coming in that part of the field. And obviously, the reason why we play soccer is to score goals. And so probably a week or two into preseason, we knew we have to find ways to continue to work on that part of the field in the final third and score more goals. Because I think we're going to concede some goals. We have to score more than the opponent. And so that was one thing that stood out for us. And I think we've been doing a good job of it so far. So, but those are the main points, I would say.
You talked about bringing some new defenders and kind of having a new defense. What are sort of like maybe some of the challenges in kind of building a new defense and getting that chemistry together for the back four or back five?
Yeah. You see, our sport, people come from all over the world, all over the country. They're coached by different coaches with different terminologies and different things they want from them. And so when you come and say on our team, maybe how we are asking to defend is a little different, you know. When a ball goes wide, maybe your coach says go man mark in the box, and we say no, you go find your zone and defend that zone, right? And so those are little things that they have to understand of how we want to defend. Again, am I saying is the right way or the wrong way? No, but this is how we want to do it. I'd rather have 32 guys doing the wrong thing than half of them doing the right thing and half of them doing the wrong thing. And so it's just getting them on the same page is probably one of the hardest things. And kind of call that chemistry, right? If you know, it's chemistry in one sense of getting to know your teammates, but also on the field, knowing what the other person's weaknesses and their strengths are. So those are probably the toughest things. And you won't know until you get in the games and it gets tougher and then you get punished for it and then you learn from it and then you get better at it that way.
Yeah, speaking about chemistry that you mentioned for defenses, who's kind of been on this team, kind of been that guy that kind of brings the group together with the chemistry, whether that be like the funny type of guy, like the guy that brings the positive vibes or really just the leader on the team?
I think there are different people that do what you're asking. Xavi is his name. Sorry, there's three Xaviers now. So there's an Xavier who's a freshman and an Xavi. Xavi is more of a serious guy. You know, let's get it done. Hey, do your job. And then you have Keegan, who kind of leads by example. You know, I'm going to just put my head down and then you watch me and I'll do it. Okay, and I'll have to tell you because you can see me doing it right. And then you have guys like Bo, who's more like a funny guy, and helps the camaraderie. But I think they all play a part in kind of helping our back line build that chemistry.
Yep, awesome.
Another thing is talking about conditioning in the preseason, but obviously we're into the season right now as well. How does that conditioning differ when you're in season versus preseason? And if so, what are those differences?
No, it's a very good question. It's probably one of the hardest things for coaches because you have so many games, not everybody's playing. And so you also have to keep your team sharp so we don't lose, our fitness. And we try to do speed work in the beginning of training. You know, we have Austin. Austin is our strength conditioning guy. Does a lot of speed work with our boys prior to games, and we have to set our field up so that they're essentially getting the same amount of load that they would in the game. You know, we don't want to play a game, have an off day, and then don't really run much for the next 2 days and go play a game on Wednesday. It's not conducive to being sharp. So we do our best to try to do a little fitness, little things in training, make the games and the things they do at practice very intense. The guys that don't get to play a lot, we make them do extra fitness to kind of keep the conditions up. So when you're called on, you know, your fitness is still at a high level. But it's one of the most difficult things for a college coach.
Sort of transitioning now from preseason to the actual season, I played several games, a lot of away games to start.
Yeah.
But what have you made to the start of the season overall as a whole?
We played some tough games, to be fair. We played Syracuse, I think, in an opening in preseason, which we don't tell anybody because it's behind the scenes. But I thought we did well. You know, it was 1-1 till, I think, the 86th minute. And we played, like, extra. We played 30 minutes extra. And then they end up scoring in the last 10 minutes of the 30-minute extra. And so we lost 2-1, but I thought we defended well. Again, talking about chemistry with our back line, I thought we did a good job in that game. We played a couple more preseason games. We scored goals, so again, it was promising, right? We've learned how to defend, now we're scoring goals. The first game was St. Francis, which it's probably one of the most frustrating things as a coach, because everything that we have done, we didn't do in that game, and we didn't do well. You know, it was an awful game. We lost 3-0, but I think it helped turn around our team, and I think the games after that, Cleveland State, we dominated. We lost 1-0 to a very good team. You know, they had just beaten Ohio. I think they had just tied Ohio State the week before playing us, and Ohio State's at top 25 now. And I thought we played well. Didn't get the result, and we told our boys, "You do that, you're gonna get results." And we went to Canisius. I think we won 2-1 in that game, and then we went to Penn State. Lost that game, but I thought we played really, really, really well in that game. We thought we were going to go to Penn State and defend for our lives. It was the other way around. We were getting chances after chances, and I think we were a little shocked the amount of chances we got in that game. The last game we played was Quinnipiac, and we went on the road and won 2-1. So, you know, we're 2-3 with a lot of road games that we played, you know. So, so far, not bad, but I think we're improving every time we play.
Yeah, kind of bringing in a little bit of soccer from Europe. Because I'm a Madrid fan. There'll be times in the season where they play like the first 3 or 4 games, like really just away from home, and it's just a little bit of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to ask, what are some of the challenges for this Bonnie's team when they're just playing several away games at the start of the season, not that many home games?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You wanna have your players sleep in your bed, you know? That's what you want. Those long bus rides, you know, people don't understand. If you're not on them, it does take its toll on you, you know. Your feet are up, you know. You're cramped in a little tiny space, you know. You're breathing the same air. Some people that are sick, you know. It takes a toll on you. And then you get up. You sleep all day on the bus, and you get up, and then you're supposed to go to bed on time so you can get up again and go play a game. So, you know, over time, it kind of takes a toll on you, right? So it's not easy. Don't get me wrong. We'd rather play home games than away games. But, you know, we try to replicate what it would be in our season. You're going to go on the road. You're going to stay overnight and go play LSL. You're going to go overnight and go play GW. So we're trying to replicate those things in our non-conference games. So when we get into conference games, it's nothing new to us. It's okay to travel 5-6 hours and go play.
We're talking about your home schedule after this next game at Niagara. You have 3 home games back in front of the fans. How excited are you for that? And also, how do you think excited, and what do you think that's going to do for the players as well, to be in front of their home crowd, have their fans cheering for them, and like you said, being able to sleep in their own beds?
Yeah, no, I think it's huge. It's massive. And you know, a couple of days ago, our captains were in here going, "All right, coach, what else do you need from us? How do we get more people to come to the game?" So they're just excited. It's like we've been on the road forever, and people even forget that we still have a men's soccer team, you know. So to be back in front of their crowd, I think they're gonna be buzzing. I think the last time we were in front of our crowd, we didn't do so well, and so it kind of leaves a little bit of bad taste in your mouth, and you wanna, you know, change that the next time we're out there. So and again, people have to come here. No one likes coming here, so. We want to make sure they're miserable when they come in here, and when they get here, we're buzzing at a high level. So they're really, really excited. I'm excited as well.
The most recent win was a 2-1 win on the road against Quinnipiac, as you said. But how has the team improved to the point where were they able to get that win against Quinnipiac? Like, what were the big improvements that you saw?
Yeah. So the word, the school, the name is weird. It's Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac.
Big, they're a big hockey school as well.
Massive hockey school, yeah. Yeah. Good facilities. Yeah, that's a really big hockey school. And in soccer, you're in the MAC. The reason why we think we've improved consistently is we're doing what we want to do on the ball, like the way we want to play, the style we want to play, we're doing it no matter what, right? We did it at Penn State. No, it didn't go well. We're like, hey, don't give up. Keep doing the same thing. The results will come. And, you know, soccer is a weird sport where you can do everything right, and then all of a sudden the other person gets one chance, and then it's top corner, and then you're like, how am I down 1-0, you know? So we just want them to believe in the philosophy approach we're using to play our games. And when we do, we're almost unbeatable, honestly, but we got to stick to it. And we're moving the ball well. We're switching the player. We're switching to play, you know, well. We're getting the attack in third world. We're getting people in the box. And, you know, we scored 2 goals that day. We could have scored 4. We scored 2, you know. And we held on for the 2-1 win in the end. But I still think there's another level for us to go, you know.
Yeah, and where is that level that you guys, that you want to see your team at?
Yeah, I think we have to punish teams when they make mistakes, especially in their half of the field there. We're pressing really, really well, and we're causing teams to give, you know, cough up the ball in bad areas of the field. We have to then punish them for it, you know. And like the lessons we take from Penn State, that's what they did to us. We played well, but you made one mistake. Boom, go. Like, how did this just happen? So we need to do the same thing when we play. We play teams that are giving up bad chances for us. You know, we have Kenzo Brito, who hasn't played all year as well. Another attacking player for us that can make a difference in the final third. And even without him, we're still creating chances and getting goals right now. So with him, I think again we can elevate our final third production.
Yeah, speaking about some of the key players on this team, I wanted to also ask. I was actually put it right here. How's his recovery? How has Kenzo Brito's recovery been? Because I know he's been out. Yeah. Can you just kind of give a little bit of a context behind the injury, and then also how is he doing right now?
Yeah, he pulled his hamstring at Syracuse in our preseason game. I think he was on for like 5 minutes, and he pulled his hamstring. We didn't think it was a big deal, but he had a little bit of tear in there, so it's been a long recovery. We're hoping the next couple of weeks that, you know, he's going to miss the game on Saturday against Niagara, but we're hoping that when conference starts, he's ready to play. So he's been doing training now and physical contact now, so hopefully he's ready in the next couple of weeks to play.
Going back to that Quinnipiac game, the big thing for there was Michi's game winner, I believe, in the 84th minute. Yeah. It was one of those where you come for the goal, but you stay for the celebration, I felt like. I saw that. I was scrolling through Twitter, and I saw that celebration. But for you as a coach, first of all, talking about how well he's done and what he's gotten to do to kind of get him, put himself in those opportunities to score and score those game winners. But also just as a coach, when you see that huge celebration, you see the team coming together, do you have to restrain yourself a little bit? Is there an urge to want to jump in? Or you know, like, you got to collect yourself. You know, I'm the coach. I got to kind of stay calm. There's still 5-6 minutes left at least in this game, but yeah, how's that for you?
Okay, Michi obviously is a big part for us. You know, he's been here for 4 years. We feel he can always get his goals, right? And we tell him sometimes you don't have to score for us to win. You play well, the people around you will score for us to win, and in the end, that's what matters, right? And so for him to score that goal in that game, again, was massive, because he's like, I want the ball, give me the ball, and I want to win this game, you know. And for him to do that, obviously, good for our team. High confidence for him. And let's go to the celebration part. And so, what people don't know is, in our team, if somebody scores, you don't celebrate, you get fined.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So it's all in. You know, you better get in there and celebrate. In terms of me, I think I've been doing this for so long that that's not what my thought is when you're running around celebrating. My next thought is like, what we need to do in the next 5-4 minutes here so we can keep the win, right? Who do we need to sub on? What do we need to do? Also, in that game, it was like a monsoon. It was raining so hard. It was so cold. But I do tell my boys, though, hey, you know, when I scored goals, you know, I celebrated a lot. So if you want to know other celebrations, you know, you let me know and I'll give you some. Because they all just run around and sprint and waste a lot of energy and slide around, right? I was like, no, you know, if you want some good celebration, let me know. You know, I'll give you some. Maybe I'll throw one in here. You know, I've got a goal where I take my shoes off and then the bottom of the cleats as my phone dial and I press it and I call my mom. You know, I say, Mom, I gotta go. You know, so I was like, hey, you guys need something? You let me know. But they love it. The score, so it's so difficult in Division One. So we tell them you have to enjoy. You have to celebrate it with your teammates.
Go ahead. Are there some other celebrations? Like, is there times during practice where you just stop and like teach them celebrations after they score a goal?
When I score, I'll do it. I'll do the celebration.
Okay. I was just gonna ask, what's your favorite type of what's your favorite one of all time? Would it be in, you know, Division One, or you know, be in Europe, or be in MLS, international? What's your favorite one?
I don't think some of them I can't see on here. But my goal. But oh, I'll give you a good one. It was alumni weekend. I score, and then I literally jump into the crowd, almost like a concert, right? You jump in the crowd and they catch me. You know, I mean, I thought that was awesome. And then we used to do ones where you kind of let your teammates know, hey, if I score, this is what we're gonna do. You know. The usual go-to one when I used to score was just put my shirt over my head and fly around like an airplane.
I'm always a sucker for masks. I like when they'll have something with a little prop. That's always my favorite. When they have something tucked in their jersey, they'll put like a Spider-Man mask on or something like that. That's for me, it's always the best.
Speaking of celebrations, when there's a game where you get like a late game winner, like after the game, is it just like pure celebrations? Or like what do you say to the team after those kind of wins?
I mean, they're so happy. There's not much you can say. They're so excited, so happy. So I just say, good job, good win. Watch film and get better, you know. But yeah, they're just... They go in the locker room and they play loud music and dance around and enjoy it, right? So it's not really much you can say.
Right.
Who's on Ox? Who has Ox control there?
Bo Drath. Okay. Yeah. Bo Drath is a music guy. He loves music. He said his first album was like when he was 9 years old, and so he knows all these kinds of music. So that's our guy. That's their guy. They always bring a little speaker on the road as well. And then just jam out.
Are you a fan of the music they play, or do you have your own different taste?
Nah, I don't really care.
Oh, did you find that there are any other like key important players whose performances really stood out in the most recent win?
You know, we have Gabriel Ado, who's a transfer from Rutgers. I think he's been a solid rock for us. He's added just a different dimension in the midfield for us. He's athletic. His soccer IQ is off the roof. And he's kind of helped gel our team together. He's a good leader as well. He's an older guy. So I think from top of my head, that's the guy I think that stands out for us.
Yeah, just also kind of going back to that with the new players, how's it been with the new freshmen that have been on this team that have kind of been getting a start? Like you mentioned, Xavier Davidson and Sutherland. Like how's they and Ben as well? Because you know he's been. Right. I guess we can start with Ben. I think that was the first guy we can talk about.
Yeah, you know, our philosophy with our players don't change. If you're a freshman, you can play. We'll play you. I don't care. You could be 15 years old and a freshman. We'll play you. if we think you can get as a win. And Ben has been working so hard in preseason, and you know he's a talented young man, and we felt it was a time to give him a chance in the game, and obviously he made some two very good saves to kind of win us the game at Quinnipiac. Nishan has surprised all of us. He's been excellent, been playing well. He hasn't scored a goal yet, but every game he's so close, you know, and I think he will get a goal soon. And then we have Xavier Davidson as a young freshman coming playing in the back for us for I think the first four games. He's also done well. Got a little sick, so he didn't play the last game. But again, he's gonna get there, and again get two or three guys that can help us right away. We have Leo Fragoso, who's like a wing back for us, also can come off the bench and playing. So again, just very, very good minutes for our team that will progress them for next year.
And who's kind of been helping them, like, kind of adapt to this team? Who's been, like, I guess we can say...
Yeah, I actually asked this question to our team, and they were saying their captains have been excellent, and players that play in their position have helped them a lot. And you can hear it, right? When they come off the bench or in training, it's a break. You can see guys talking to them, hey, I saw this, I think you should do that. And for me, it still gives me goosebumps right now. I think that's brilliant. That's brilliant. That's how you get better as a team. It's not just me always coaching these guys. Because I tell them, some of you guys have been here 4 years. I can't keep coaching you. You got to help me now. You got to coach those young guys, all right?
And passing the torch, I would say.
What's that?
Passing the torch.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You just don't, you know, you can't be a baby forever. You have to mature. You have to grow up. So those older guys have been excellent in helping those young guys.
Switching gears a little bit here, talking about your upcoming match, obviously traveling to Niagara tomorrow. Just what are your feelings going into that game, and what are some things you want your team to do differently, and maybe some things you want your team to do the same and keep and bring from your win against Quinnipiac?
Yeah, the first one is fight. Fight, have team spirit. I think, you know, Niagara is another one of those games, kind of a rivalry game. You have to fight. You got to go fight, and it's going to be a dogfight. It's not going to be an easy game. And so that last 20 minutes at Quinnipiac, or you're just fighting just to get that win. You gotta have that same mentality. You gotta go to Niagara and fight and try to win. I think Niagara is like one win, one and four, I believe. They've had some tough games. What we know for sure, this game will be difficult because one, some of our players know some of these guys already. They competed when they were in high school and club teams, so that's always just raises the level a little bit. The assistant coach, Dave Hesch, played at St. Bonaventure. Again, raised the level a little bit. I played at Niagara. So, again, they want to beat me, right? So, we told our boys, guys, this just becomes a tougher game because of all the things that's involved, right? So, what I would like to our team to see, I think Niagara does give you chances. Now we have to take care of those chances. And then the goal is not concede. Well, we haven't gotten a shout-out yet, and so we're going to have a clean sheet in this game.
So you talked about some of the players that played against some of your players. Are there any key players in particular from Niagara that you told your team to look out for?
Yeah, so when we do a scout report on our opponents, we always give them what the team does, and then we'll give them players that can change a game. So, you know, kind of their star players. Their striker, I think his name is Felix Kogler. He's a big forward, and any free kicks around the box, he has a shot, a cannon, you know. So, one, don't commit stupid fouls around the box, because he's going to punish you. And then you got to be up for the physical battle, you know. And then we go the other way and go, all right, what are some weaknesses that they have that we can exploit, right? So, right from the top of my head, I think that striker causes problems. So, that's somebody we have to take care of. If you take care of that, then maybe that gives us a better chance to win.
Yeah. No, it's funny because some of these players on Niagara, just to give a little bit of context, I worked with FC Buffalo this past summer.
Yeah.
So I know at least three of those players. You mentioned Felix.
Yeah.
Another one I'm going to give you guys, I'm just helping you guys out. You better watch out for my guy, Landon Hungerford. He's a very quick, athletic center back. So I'm just saying, he scored two or three goals off the corner.
Yeah.
So I would just say watch out for that too. I'm just giving you some scouting report here.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Trying to help out the Bonnies here a bit.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, yeah. Because they're a big team. So they rely on set pieces. And number three, Hungerford.
Looking ahead at the schedule, you have A-10 play starting soon. Is there a difference you've noticed in non-conference games and A-10 games? And if so, what are those differences? Or are they just kind of all blend together when you kind of get into that regular season?
No, they're very different. I think, in the A-10, where the games are massive, whether they're home or on the road. The A-10 programs all are so different where they are and the environment that they create, you know. The field surface is different, you know, so where you play your A-10 games is huge. I think the intensity of A-10 games is a different level. And we tell that to our new guys. It's great. Yeah, you're winning games here. You play. But, dude, when that whistle goes for the first game in the A-10, the intensity level is a different level, you know. Because one mistake could be the reason why you lose a game. So we try to differentiate that by trying to make it difficult in training, you know. But you can't really replicate it until you get into those moments in the game. So Fordham is the first game at home. We have to play like we're home and play with a high intensity and punish them for any mistakes they make.
You talked about the different environments for A-10 and different intensities. As from the past several years, is there a particular team that you think is really tough to play away or to travel to?
Donnie would tell you the same thing. No one wants to go to St. Louis and play because it's too far away.
right.
You know, by the time you get there, you're tired as a coach, so you can only imagine how tired your players are, right? Man, I feel like everywhere creates its own problems. You know, if you go to Fordham, the traffic is forever. You just don't know how you're going to get to the stadium, you know. Mm-hmm. You go to LaSalle, and it's dirty Philly, you know. And so the fans are very, very difficult. You go to VCU, there's a band behind you playing the whole time, so you can't talk to your team. You know, you can't communicate to your team. I think each one just gives you a different kind of challenge, right? You know, VCU, the field's beautiful, but you can't coach your team, you know. So it's a tough question to answer, but I think each one kind of gives you a different challenge, in my opinion.
Something that's kind of been going on in the world of college sports in general is conference realignment. You look at Pac-12, Mountain West, Big Ten, all these schools moving. Is that something you also have to pay attention to and just know, oh, maybe in a couple of years there's a new opponent or there's someone else we're going to have to travel or someone might leave, we won't play them again? How does that affect you and how you coach?
Yeah, you're right. You're always paying attention to see who's going to come in and who's going to leave, right? And I don't know if you guys know, UMass will be gone in 2025. So they'll play this year and then be gone in 2025. So we're going, okay, well, do we get somebody else now, you know? does that change our schedule? Because we were supposed to go to UMass in 2025, right? So now we can't go there. Who do we play next, you know? So, I mean, if you're in college athletics, you're obviously paying attention to that kind of stuff. Also trying to see who you can get rid of, you know, like SLU, you know, get out of here. But yeah, you're paying attention to that. And obviously for us, we also have to pay attention. Are we going to stay around? Do we move somewhere else? You know, as far as I know, we're still in the A-10. So nothing to worry about, basketball fans.
Okay. just wanted to ask kind of your final predictions for this A-10 season. And you were talking about the tough challenges of going to, you know, VCU and all these other teams. But what are your predictions? What do you think will be the toughest game? What do you think is going to be where you guys are going to, how you guys are going to do in the A-10 conference? Just your general predictions.
Jeez. Killing me, Jeff. So this is crazy, but right now in the Atlantic 10, at one point there were like five teams in the top 30.
and
I don't know. It's hard to predict. But when we start playing each other again, depending where you were playing these teams, it can really really change the outlook on whether you stay in the top 50 or not for a lot of these teams, right? Because a lot of these teams, their goals are different from we're all different in goals we're trying to achieve, right? For us, we're trying to make the playoffs. We don't care about being in the top 25. Usually when you're in the top